Mishus Marino, Rav Shlita. Still in the Shona Rishona. Before I come to our topic for today, I must say how amazing it was to get lots of feedback from you and others on the pronunciation series. Quite surprisingly, I was in Manchester about 3 weeks ago on over Shabbos, and a certain man came up to me, a fairly well-known rabbi actually, and he starts telling me that when you say Hamud Shuleshes, or with the Birchas Kohanim Brocham Shuleshes, you don't pause after before the word Batorah. When I said this last month, Gershon correctly pointed out that there is in fact a machlokas on the subject. So I said to the fellow, yes, but if you look in the Sefer Big Day Yesha, he said, oh, he's only recent. He said, look in the Be'er Shava, and he says, you don't make a pause there. And I said, well, I agree, Rav Avadi Yosef actually writes in Yabia Omer that you don't have to pause there. So as you said, there's a machlokas. But I was a bit surprised that the tentacles from Manchester are reaching me without me realizing. I'll have to now be careful what I say in future. Now I realize they're listening to me. Just wait till they get to the next series. Joel suggested I talk about Zionism. Let's see what happens. We might ruffle a few feathers. Anyway, it doesn't matter if you weren't at the previous shiur on the sound of shofar, which was exactly 2 years ago. This shiur is really independent of it, but it's just, it is in a way a continuation of it. And there I spoke about a medrash in Vayikra Chavtes, referring to the posuk, Olo Elokim Vistrua Hashem Bekol Shofar. And there it says that Elohim is Midas Din and Hashem is Midas Rachamim. And it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the sound of the shofar, he gets up and he leaves the Kisei Din, the strict judgment, and he goes to the Kisei Rachamim. What is it about the sound of the shofar? I was thinking of going through all the different minhogim about different sounds of shofar, but I gave up the idea. But it's important to note that the Gemara in Lama Dalet in Rosh Hashanah talks about the shofar as a sound of moaning or as a sound of crying. Genicho or Yalolo. Shavarim is really the moaning, where you go, oi, when you hear some bad news, you might say oy vey, and there's the three longer notes, and then the short staccato note of the teruah is more like the sound of crying when one bursts into tears. When I say staccato, there is a bit of an argument about that. Staccato in music means completely separate notes, but the Sefer Minhoge Shoshe Minhoge Ashkenaz brings down opinions where you might have them actually joined together, and it will be like a vibration, as if you're doing rather than du-du-du-du-du-du. And even with the shavarim, we have the three separate notes. I remember Rabbi Cooper was very muckbeard about monotone, du-du-du, but I hear there are some here who are doing it du-du-du, which might sound more like a bit of crying. But
Israel, they do.
They do. And I have been in a shul where they have been joined together, where they go, which is really one long undulating sound. Different minhagim amongst Sfardim, different parts of Germany, Europe, but we won't go down that route. Now, the Gemara there has a Rabbeinu Chananel who quotes the mother of Sisra. Sisra was the nasty general who was killed by Yael with a tent peg in his head, and his mother was crying, and it uses the word Vatayavev, Aim Sisra. And Rabbeinu Chananel notes that this is really the source of the word Yevovo. Yevovo is what we use for the Shlorim, maybe for the Teruah, where there's a Machlokes, so the Rambam says we're not quite sure nowadays which one is really the Teruah which the Torah prescribes. So we do both and we do all. We got the Darshonim, who explained from the Yud Gimel Midas how we blow the shofar. So the Maggid of Meserich said that just like we've got 13 midos with which we darshan the Torah, so there are also 13 principles of mercy, of rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the two combined together, where you've got the link that the droshas of the 13 are used for the 13 attributes of mercy where there is rachamim. So Hashem gets up from Kisei Din and he goes to the Kisei Rachamim. That is the Medrash we referred to last time, but now we're going off on a completely different tangent on this topic. Because my question today is, what is this big deal about the sound of the shofar that it makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu leave the Kisei Din and goes to the Kisei Rachamim? Well, the obvious answer you're going to give to me is Akedas Yitzchok, because the makes it very clear. Tomorrow Rosh Hashanah Tef Zayin, Omar Rabbi Bo, Loma Tokin Vashova Shal Ail, why do we use a ram's horn? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tiku Lefonai Vashova Shal Ail, if you blow before me from the shofar of the ram, Kadesha Ezko Lochem Akedas Yitzchok Ben Avraham, in order that I can remember that Akedas Yitzchok Ben Avraham, to give merit not only to Yitzchok but also to Avraham, who was giving up his chesed to carry out this instruction, and Yitzchok was willing to give up his life. And you've got there the Midas Din and the Midas Rachamim, because Yitzchok is Din and Avraham Avinu stands for Rachamim. I will regard it as though you yourselves have performed the Akedah, whether by Avraham or by Yitzchok, when you hear the Tekiyas Shofar. Quite amazing. I mean, all that self-sacrifice and turbulation and tribulation of Avraham and Yitzchok going through the Akedah, and we turn up at shul and we hear somebody blowing some nice notes. Well, nice notes. The shofar isn't exactly the most musical of instruments, is it? You do get a few notes out of it. There is, in fact, on YouTube, a 12-minute playing of a shofar. I think it's a Christian website, though, to show that the shofar is really a musical instrument. But the shofar has also got a bit of a smell, which is rather pungent when you put your nose inside it. So what is it so special about the shofar, where you could get a trombone or trumpet to do much nicer musical notes and might be polished in gold and so on and so forth? So, okay, so you'll say Akedas Yitzchok. You could give me another answer. You say, well, the Torah said you blow. You're doing what the Torah says. You blow, so you blow, and that's your mitzvah. So what's the big deal about the shofar? And we all know about the Sadigon's 10 reasons for shofar, which you might think about when you're hearing it, to commemorate the creation, coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty, to do teshuvah, Har Sinai, to remember the giving of the Torah, the words of the Nevi'im, to pray for the Beis HaMikdosh, Akedas Yitzchok's one of them, the idea of fear and trembling when you hear the noise, the future judgments when there'll be a shofar sounded, Kabetz Nitzchei Amo Yisrael, the ingathering of the exiles when the shofar will be sounded, and tenthes Techiyas HaMesim. But that's the Sadigon, something you can ponder about. It's listed in the art scroll. But our question is, yeah, okay, what is it so special about the Akedah? The Akedah happened thousands of years ago. Does that mean that I get credit to when I go through my daily life, when I stand on Rosh Hashanah and I'm doing atonement for my sins, I have to rely on what Avraham and Yitzchok did so many thousands of years ago? To which you might answer, yeah, well, it says in the Pasuk, the Yirash Zaracho, after the Akedah, that the idea of the Yirash Zaracho, that there's a kind of Yerusha which comes out from the Akedah, which helps every single generation thereafter. But nevertheless, are we getting such a good deal? Or is there nothing we have to do ourselves? What is it about the shofar which influences HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, we might be worthy because of the Akedah, but is that enough? Isn't there something which affects our daily personal lives which might relate to this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up from the Kisei Din and goes to the Kisei Rachamim? Okay, we stand in awe in shul and we listen to the shofar and we think about all these lists of the Sadigon, but what is it about us personally which can influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up from that Kisei Din and Kisei Rachamim? There are those who say that the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because we blow 2 days if it's not Shabbos, the first day is the laning we do of the birth of Yitzchok. Yitzchok represents Din. And the second day is the Akedah, which represents the Rachamim. So that we are transforming ourselves on Rosh Hashanah from... But that doesn't really answer our question. The shofar, where else is it useful? Where else is it symbolic? And we can refer into Parshas Baaloscho, because there in Peret Yotot Tes it says, "V'kisavo milchama ba'artzachem." When you go to war, you take the shofar with you. Alatzar tereschem bareosim b'chatzotzros. There it's talking about trumpets, chatzotzros. The same idea. You're blowing a horn, and you're making these not so musical sounds. V'nizkartem lefonah Hashem lokechem, and that will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a zechira, as a zikaron, v'noshatem me'oyveichem, and then you will be saved from your enemies. So there's a certain segula, a certain yeshua, which comes out from the sound of this trumpet. What is it, the magic about sounding this trumpet? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in Chafov says, when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar, all shofars are kosher, except Michel Poro, the cow. Cow is called Keren, maybe some say. It's not really Keren. It's all Telhorn, but we can't have Poro. Why? So this Gemara gets a bit longish. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol enter the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom Kippur with any gold on his garments? The women have a custom not to wear jewelry with gold on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would not go in with gold. Four simple clothes, removes the tzitz and the choshen, which have gold on them, and he goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim without. So the Gemara says, the fish enk tega nasa senega, a very important principle in Shas, that the prosecutor can't be the defense. What does it mean by the prosecutor? We don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of gold. Why not? Because the Egel Azov, the golden calf. The golden calf is not a merit of ours. It's, unfortunately, a stain on us. So we don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the Egel Azov, so we take off the gold. The Kohen Gadol takes off the gold when he enters the Kodesh Kodoshim. Ask the Gemara, is that really so? Is not the Kohen Gadol sprinkling the blood of a cow on Yom Kippur? And a cow reminds us of the Egel. That's the animal that it was. So the Gemara says, well, it's different there, because when he's sprinkling the blood, it's transformed. It doesn't look like a cow. So we're a step further away from it. Ask the Gemara, hold on a minute, but when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, the Oron is made with gold, and the Kerubim are made of gold, so surely that's Ketega Nasa Senega, so surely that's not a good reflection. So the Gemara there says, yeah, okay, but we're not really talking about that kind of gold, we're talking about wearing gold. So the Kohen Gadol, when he goes in, he won't be actually wearing it. So then the Gemara asks, so why only the Kodesh Kodoshim? What about elsewhere in the Beis HaMikdash? Surely elsewhere in the Beis HaMikdash it's also a reminder of the Egel Azov, and gold is worn outside the Kodesh Kodoshim in the Mikdash, and he wears gold. So the Gemara says, only Bifanim, only in the Kodesh Kodoshim do we worry about this. Nowhere else. So the Gemara asks a most obvious question. Shofar nami bevachutz, but we blow the shofar outside, and there is this Mishnah which precedes this Gemara about casing the shofar with gold or the mouthpiece. It's discussed in some detail. If you are going to forbid gold, because there's a discussion about gold, and you shouldn't encase the whole of the shofar with gold. It talks about the mouthpiece. So if you're not worried about gold, then what about shofar? Shofar is outside the Kodesh Kodoshim. Shofar nami bebechutz. Says the Gemara, kiven de zikoron hu kebifnim domi. Since shofar, zikoron here really means an awakening. Since shofar is an awakening, we say remembrance with zikoron, but Yom Zikoron is the terminology for Rosh Hashanah. And since the shofar is zikoron, it is as if it is in the Kodesh Kodoshim, which is a chiddush, that the shofar has the power to do some influence over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are standing listening to the shofar, and it is as if we are in the Kodesh Kodoshim. How can we understand this? What is the significance of shofar being like the Kodesh Kodoshim? And then there's another question. We We have an obligation to blow the shofar, Miyushuv and Me'umut. The first 30 are at the beginning, which are called the Miyushuv, when one might be sitting, but we do stand for them. But the idea of Me'umut is the Shemone Esra. We have the minhag to blow in the repetition of the Shemone Esra, but that's Shemone Esra, after Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros at the three stages. There are some communities, particularly amongst Hasidim and Sephardim, who actually blow the shofar in the middle of the quiet Shemone Esra, so that everybody gets up to their bracha of Malchios, Zichronos, Shofaros, and then waits, and then, without anyone calling out the names of the notes, you just hear Tekiah, Shemone Esra, Tekiah, etc., and that's the way the quiet Shemone Esra runs. So you are blowing the shofar and you're mixing it inside the Shemone Esra. Is there any other mitzvah which you actually mix into the davening of the Shemone Esra, like shofar? Bichas Kohanim. But that's really part and parcel of the Nusach organized by Chazal. When they arrange the Shemone Esra, it will include the Bichas Kohanim. But that's a good point. But the example I was thinking of was maybe Lulav in Hallel. But Hallel, it's not really part and parcel of the Hallel. You're shaking Lulav in the Hallel, but it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah. So you're right. Maybe except Bichas Kohanim, you don't get mitzvahs mixed up into the Shemone Esra. You might get piyutim mixed up into it, but that's ancillary to the Shemone Esra, and the Shulchan Aruch is not very happy about that, but the Rambam says we carry that on. So let's look again about the idea of shofar. When else was the shofar used? And in Yoshua, in Perek Vov, when it came to the conquest of Jericho, there in verse 5 it says, take the shofar with you. That when you go and battle against Jericho, and of course it was very heavily fortified, nobody could get in, nobody could get out, and it was not easy to attack Jericho. So what happened? The Kohanim had to blow, and then everybody blew, and they walked around 7 times, and so on and so forth. And then what happens? That the wall fell. Tachteho is the word used. So and then Yeshua called the Kohanim, and it was on the seventh day, and they got up early, and so on. They walked past 7 times, and as the text carries on, a big trua was blown, and the wall was crumbled. They didn't fall down like the folk song goes. You know the Negro folk song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and it says the wall came tumbling down as if any wall would fall. The wall's actually sunk. Tachtel is the word used. A miraculous event, and that was brought about by the blowing of the shofar. Now again, we've asked this question, what is the magic about the shofar? The shofar which influences HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave Kisei Din and Kisei Rachamim. The shofar which you bring with to war. The shofar which you're actually combining inside your Shemone Esra, this is not just any straightforward mitzvah like Lulav or Chanukah or Sukkah, where you are told to do a certain mitzvah. This is having something more than just listening to the sound of a few maybe unmusical notes. And what is that secret which comes out from there? The Biskarov says what you see from this message of Jericho and from the message of war and what we are doing inside the Shemone Esra and what we brought out from that Gemara about the cow and the gold is that shofar is a form of tefillah. Shofar is a form of davening. So it is part and parcel of that Shemone Esra. And when you are standing and you're davening, it's as if you're in the Kodesh Kodoshim. That's the whole idea of the shofar. The Zikaron Hu Gvifnim Domi. Shofar is awakening. So what is the message of shofar? Is Hashem sending a message to us, or are we sending a message to Him? The way we started talking was that we are sending a message to Him, because He is then responding by moving His chair. And the Rambam actually writes that, and it's quite strange for the Rambam to write this, because the Rambam writes halachas in Mishnah Torah, but he writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet, Af Al Pi, even though Shetkiyat Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah Gezeres HaKosuv, even though we have a din that you blow the shofar B'Rosh Hashanah point blank, Remez Yeshpo, it's got an important hint, Kloma Ur Yesheni Mishimaschem, wake up from your sleep, Menodomim Hekitzu, mitarmadaschem lechivsu b'maaseichem v'chazru b'tshuva v'zikru barachem, and remember who your Creator is. So there's a message for shofar for us. Wake up call. But there's also a message of the shofar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is that? It's tefillah. It is actual davening. Now you might say to me, what are you talking about? You make these strange sounds. That is called tefillah. How can that have more effect? Because the effect of the shofar without words has a greater effect than your tefillah with words. The Briskerov says the shofar is not just a mitzvah like other mitzvahs. It's got the function of tefillah. And that Yericho was destroyed with tefillah. And that the shofar was part and parcel of that davening. So he remarks on this because the Ramban says on Bilam. Bilam says, in Parshas Balak, Lohi bi oven b'Yaakov. So we say this in the Rosh Hashanah davening. Lohi bi oven b'Yaakov, l'romol b'Yisrael, Hashem erkovimo, usuruas melechbo. So that's the pasuk we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening. What is Bilam actually doing? He is admiring Klal Yisrael. Although he's sent to attack us with words, he is praising us in ways, like the Matovu is the classic, but he's jealous of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban says that this word Trua is the Trua of the shofar. If you look in the art scroll, he brings Rashi, who says the friendliness, Suras Melechbo, the friendliness of the king, that Hashem is the king and he's being friendly with us. But the Ramban says this is talking about Trua. Well, Suras Melechbo is shofar. And he says, "Tzorich Bilam, Ma Motzo Bilam Arosha B'Mitzvah Shofar Yoseh Mishem Mitzvah Sheis Yisrael." Why is Bilam jealous of us about the mitzvah of shofar? Because there are lots of other mitzvahs he could refer to: Shabbos, Kashrus, Tavis Mishpocha, loads of mitzvahs which one can be jealous about because they achieve kedusha and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it about shofar? He says. Because the shofar is nichlal inyan tefillah v'zorka. Shofar is part of davening. And the goyim have the ability to daven. Hashem listens to the goyim who are davening. The peoples of the world are able to pray. But they don't have shofar. That shofar reaches those parts which tefillah cannot reach. It pierces further in shomayim much more. This is quite amazing. This is a chiddush. But it comes out from all these sources which we are giving that shofar is tefillah. It comes out from that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah which talks about the gold and the cow, the idea of war, the idea of being mixed up with the davening, the idea of Milchemes Yericho. This is a message which comes through. And what do we say at the end of shofaros? We say the bracha Shomea Kol Shofar Umazin Trua V'Ein Domenoch, and we say Baruch Shomea Kol Trus Ama Yisrael Barachamim, because when Hashem hears the shofar, then he changes to Rachamim. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chaf Vav says Omar Rabbi Levi Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah Shiyam Kippurim B'Kufin Shal Hashanah Pshutin. The shofar is bent in its shape. What is the significance about the shofar being bent? So there's a bit of an argument about whether it should be bent or straight, and the shofar is used during the year, like when there's a time of Tzorah, you have a tarnis, pray for rain, blow a shofar, but then you might use a straight one. So there, the Gemara says, "B'maikem mitlegei masov abrosh shana kama dechayef inish date tefei male." Because when a person bends himself and he shows his humility when he's davening, and he stoops because that's a sign of his modesty and his hachna before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the way he davens. And the way you daven is reflected in the shape of the shofar, because the shofar is bent, such as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi there says, on that actual Gemara, bitzfiloso, with one's davening. Hilchach Rosh Hashanah, dilitzfilo, bo'inon kafufin. We need to have a bent shofar, because we are bent when we are davening. It's part and parcel of prayer. So what is it about the shofar? We scream out and we blow. Rambam writes in Hilchas Tanis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So the word Truah, when it talks about Rosh Hashanah, doesn't really explain itself very much. But when you look elsewhere, Vari Otem, and we said in Baal Osechot, you've got the idea of what the shofar is. Comes along the Rambam and says, Mitzvah Saseh, Lizok Ulhoria, to scream and to blow. And that's with the Chatzotos Al Kol Tzara, on any trouble which we experience, Shatova Al Tzibor, as it says in Bamidbar, Al Tzara Tzara Eschem Ari Oschem Chatzotos, as we said before. Kloma Kol Dovo, Shiyitalochem, any trouble which you have, Gagon Batsuras Deva, Arbe, if you have pestilence, plagues, locusts, Yotzebe, Bohen Zaku Aleim, Moriu, and you will blow the shofar. Why? Because the shofar is a form of tefillah.
It must be that the shofar must be coupled with something else. So you want to demolish a house. If you walk around seven times and blow the shofar, you won't demolish the house. Yeah.
You could try, but I don't think the local building regulations would approve of your method. There's something linked to shofar. It's a means to an end.
Yeah.
And
we're saying it's nothing to Hashem.
Well, walk around your house seven times and blow.
If you don't to Hashem, that my house will fall and you're enough of a tzaddik.
Yeah. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah in Perek Talud, Kiksahu Akavona, what is the kavona you need when you daven? Shiifnel es niba mikolam achshavos. You have to distract yourself from all other thoughts. The yira atzma, and you should see yourself kiilu omed lifnei hashchina. That a person is davening before the shchina. You're in the Kodesh Kodoshim, so to speak. And that is part of tefillah, and that is part of the shofar blowing. So the Shemesh Shmuel brings this idea as well, that the shofar is an idea of davening, it's tefillah. And he quotes this Rashi, that shofar is a form of tefillah, and he says, really, there are two kinds of requests when you are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove from you your tzoras, to remove any harm, and secondly, to bestow upon you good. So those are two kinds of tefillah, apart from the praise and the thanks, which we also do in tefillah. So the malchios of the Rosh Hashanah davening is the request to remove the harm, and the shofar and the zichronos, he says, is to bestow the good. The shofaros encapsulates all together. So he says there's a difference. He also says that the teruah, the crying, is the regret, so that's to remove the harm. And the shavarim, which is, well, maybe the tekiah as such, which are more the straight notes. The straight notes are the idea of the good, to ask Hashem to bestow on us the good. And there are really a few ideas which we can bring out much further when we connect the idea of shofar with tefillah. This is an idea brought by Rav Sholem Rosner, and he quotes the Shemesh Shmuel as well, who says that in Lam Zayin that Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava. The creation of the world, we say Hayom HaRas Olam, but the creation of the world was really 25th of Elul, because Adam HaRishon was born on the sixth day, Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem breathed into Adam Nishmas Chaim. He gave him life, and that breath which Hashem gave to Adam HaRishon, we are reciprocating on Rosh Hashanah with breath by breathing into the shofar. To reflect that this was the time when he was created, and that he says something else, that there's this spiritual connection then, that when we breathe out to reflect Hashem's breathing out, we are doing so without words. It is an action which we are doing where we are symbolizing a very important concept of creation and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the sovereign creator of the universe, but we're doing so without words. The words don't reach as high, he says, as the shofar does. Then there's another idea. The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Gimel talks about Rabbi Chanino, who was sitting in a shul, and there was a cousin there davening who decided to embellish his words. So we say in our Shemone Esra, Hokel, Hagodol, Hagiva, Hanoa, Kelenion, etc. These are the words which were prescribed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolot when we daven. So this Chazal thought he's going to add on a few more descriptions about how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And he said other words like Vahanoro, Adir, Amitz, Azuz, Amiti, and others. He added on more because he thought, I can do better than this. I can be more frum and add on. And he got told off by it. Rabbi Chanina wasn't happy about it. Why not? He said, because when you start describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are making him finite. You are limiting the scope of who he really is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. He's unlimited. So you mustn't give him descriptions. So you say, ah, yeah, but what about, okay, la God, la Gibbah Vanarot? Ah, but that's the Nosach which was prescribed by Chazal. Because Chazal said, those are the words you say, those are the words you say. But for you to start describing Hashem in your own words, that is out of our remit. We don't do that. Because you can't limit Hashem's capabilities with descriptions. He is infinite. So that is the Gemara in Pesachim. In Baruchas, Lamed Gimel. So Rabbi Chanina's attitude to this chazan was, have you finished yet? There's much more to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal is advising us, you can't add on. Because if you add on, you're really taking away. So after each bracha of the Shemona Esra, of these main brachas, of Malchias, Zichronos, Shofaros, we blow the shofar. Why? Because we are filling in those gaps which we have not said. We can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single way. It's impossible. But when we blow the shofar, and we are showing that this is the creator of the universe, who breathed life, and we are breathing, we are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you finish for us that bit which we can't finish. Because you are infinite and we are finite. So that shofar is like a blank check. It's filling in the blanks. Imagine there are lots of dots, unlimited numbers of dots. And the shofar is basically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in those ways which we have described you as we know them, with all these pesukim in Malchias, Zichronos, Shofaros, we've described HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, but we can't limit you. So comes along the shofar to show there is no limit. And it's part of the davening. So the Sefer Yemei Zikaron writes, on page 140, Kemeshsaim Odom Es Tifiloso, when a person finishes his davening, who maschalovim, he begins to realize and understand, lo hispik lo mamashu, he hasn't said enough. You can't say enough to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shofar is saying, we didn't manage to finish. This is the rest. Please, Hashem, fill in the gaps yourself, because we are unable to do so. An amazing idea which comes out from that Gemara in Brochus.
That could be perhaps another reason for the last 40 notes we blow at the end, although, you know, they give other reasons in case you've missed them. But it would fit in well with that explanation, that right at the end we blow a lot more.
Yeah, Meir, 100. Yeah. We say, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What does Hashem require from you? Mm-hmm. We blow 100. So, okay, Hashem, we're doing what you told us to do, to Kiyos, but we still want to fill in as many gaps as we can. So we increase the number, as you say. Very nice. Yes. There's another idea which comes out from this. Because the shofar is doing the davening, which we're not able to do. Sometimes we daven, and we don't really realize that what we're davening for might not be in our best interests. Sometimes we ask for things, you know, promotion in job, more money, good health. Yeah, these are maybe obvious things, but sometimes when we're davening for something, it might turn out for the best if we daven for those things. And apparently he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who was davening in Berlin in the early 1930s when there were troubles looming. He was davening, I should never have to leave Berlin. This is where I am, and I don't want the upheaval in old age, and so on and so forth. But Hashem didn't listen to him. He got out of Germany, Baruch Hashem. He managed to get to America. So what he davened for wasn't really what was good for him. So sometimes we daven for something and it's not in our best interests. So the shofar is doing for us what is in our best interests. Because that shofar is part of the tefillah and is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's good for us. We don't always know what's good for ourselves. I might like to have a burger and a Pepsi and a Coke, which I think I enjoy and it might be good for me, but it's not good for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for us. So we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, look, you know what's good for us. Please develop our tefillah to enhance whatever's in our best interests. We don't want to take any chances of Rosh Hashanah and daven for the wrong thing. That I might daven to have a Volkswagen diesel car and it turns out that it's poisonous for me because of the deceit they sell it with. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us something special when we daven with the shofar to ask for those things we don't really know are good for us. So the Sefer Masorah writes, in Chelek Vav, he says, Mispalen and Derech Tekiyas Shofar. We are davening through the medium of shofar, Beli Milim or Beli Tevos, without words. Ki ein onu yodin ve'emes es malavakesh. We don't really know what we're meant to be asking for. So the shofar is a one-size-fits-all. It caters for all these gaps. And that Hashem hears that universal tefillah and it turns him into rachamim. And so the shofar is really a two-way affair, as the Rambam said, that it gives us the fear and the trembling and the other reasons we discussed, but it also gives a message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as we said, the shofar is the crying. We started off talking about the idea of moaning or crying because that's really tefillah. That is davening. We answered our question really at the very beginning. We spoke about the rachamim which Hashem brings about because we asked this question: what influences HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up from the kisei din to the kisei rachamim? And we put the Akedas Yitzchak on a back burner and said, what are we personally involved in Tovshin Ayin Tes that will influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up from the kisei din to the kisei rachamim? It's your tefillah, it's your davening, and not only your davening with words, but your davening without words. So he spoke about the gold shofar and the idea of the bent shofar to show how this all bends towards the idea of tefillah. We give back the breath of Adam Arishon and we're filling in the dots, we're filling in the gaps, as it were, that the shofar is davening for our real needs and that this prayer which gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave from the kisei din to the kisei rachamim. I'll just finish with a little story I heard from my sister just last week. An interesting story, something which happened a few years ago in America, where there was a nursing home with a number of Jewish old people, and the family of one of the old ladies there got a phone call, we're very sorry to inform you that your mother has passed away. And so they got the preparations in motion, and she was quite elderly, but it was sad, obviously, and they did the levaya in a proper Orthodox Jewish cemetery. They sat shiva, and on day 5 of the shiva, the telephone rang. And this woman who was sitting avelis for her mother lifted up the phone, and it was her mother's voice.
Oh, yes, amazing.
She fainted on the spot. She just couldn't speak. She just fainted. So then the phone rang again, and another one of the children picked up the phone, and it was the mother who they were sitting shiva for. She said, why is nobody visiting me in the nursing home? The nursing home made a mistake. There were two women living in this bedroom, and it was the other woman who died. And by mistake, the school leaver secretary in the office phoned up the family of the one who was still alive. So, okay, there had been grief, but there was obviously great joy and celebration and a family reunion. But what happened about the other woman who was... What about the woman who did die and was buried? Where was her family? Mm-hmm. So embarrassingly, the nursing home had to ring them up and to say that nearly a week ago, we're sorry to tell you, your mother had died. And so the response of the non-from children on the phone was, oh, no worry, we'll organise a cremation. No worries. We don't believe in all this stuff about burial. And they didn't care. They had no emotion. And they just said they'll phone up the undertaker and organise the cremation and that'll be it. But the fellow said, the son of the woman said, did you say you buried her? Yes, she's been buried already in an Orthodox Jewish cemetery. He said, what? Our mother always begged us to bury her in an Orthodox Jewish cemetery. And we never listened because we're into green, sustainable environment and we believe in cremation. So this mother of theirs davened hard every single day, please Hashem, please arrange that I should be buried in an Orthodox Jewish cemetery. And she davened so hard every single day, and the son knew that she was davening for it. But he didn't care. She davened and davened and davened. And look what happened to her. Her prayers were answered. She got buried in an Orthodox Jewish cemetery, and the other woman was still alive eventually. She will be buried in an Orthodox Jewish cemetery. Such shows the Koach of Tefillah. And that Koach of Tefillah is not just through our words, but it's through our expressions, and it's our Shemias Kol Shofar Tzuras Amo Yisrael Barachavim. May you all have a Ksiva Vachsiva Tova. Next year is the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. It's the day after Shabbat Shuvah.
Inuyim affliction.